If you have your Bible, turn me to Genesis chapter 40 as we go through the book of Genesis chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Lie with me, Potiphar's wife continued to taunt Joseph, and unjustly accused of succumbing to her demands, Joseph was thrown into prison. And we see how his story continues to depict Jesus. For even as Joseph faced real temptations, Jesus also was tempted as well in the wilderness for 40 days. And Joseph, like Jesus, passed his test of victory. So there's 20 parallels. I hope you're taking notes because you could share with people. 20 parallels of Joseph and Jesus. Number one, shepherd, John chapter 10. Number two, loved by the Father, Matthew 3. Number three, hated by his brethren, John chapter 7. Remember, he tells his brothers about the dream. They want to kill him, right? Let's get rid of this dreamer. One of them is an entrepreneur. Hey, let's make some money on this guy. And they throw him into a pit. Number four, sent to his brethren by the Father. The Father had told him to go find his brothers, Hebrews chapter 2. Their brethren plot to kill him. Number six, stripped of his garment. Number seven, handed over to Gentiles by his brethren in Mark chapter 15. He's turned over to the gypsies. Number eight, he's sold for a price. Number nine, he's taken to Egypt. Number 10, tempted to sin. 11, yet did not sin. 12, accused falsely. Number 13, he's silent before his accusers. Number 14, trusted his defense to God, 1 Peter chapter 2. Number 15, he's bound, Psalm 105. And 16, possessed authority amidst being in captivity. And so here we see Joseph, a picture of Jesus. We see him going through these trials and temptations. He finds himself in prison for doing the right thing. He did not sin, right? Picture of Jesus, right? Sinless. So in Genesis chapter 40, verse 1 through 4, we continue with the story. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord. And the king of Egypt and Pharaoh was angry with his officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. So here we see the butler and the baker. They have offended Pharaoh. And Isaiah says about Jesus in Isaiah 53, and he was numbered with his transgressors. And intercession of them. So, which speaks of the two thieves between whom Jesus hung on the cross. And likewise, here we see two criminals with Joseph. One who will hear the words of salvation, and the other the words of condemnation. Isn't that amazing? Just like the two thieves on the cross, remember me in your kingdom, and the other had rejected it. So the butler, he's a cupbearer, very important position. He provides the wine for the pharaohs. And baker provided the bread. And so here we see the two communion elements, bread and wine, right? And notice these elements. And they've offended Pharaoh. Maybe it's a plot to poison him. It really doesn't tell us. But they're put under Joseph's charge, under his divine plan. God's divine plan begins to unfold. Now, what's interesting about Joseph is that he's a servant. Here it says that, in verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with him. Joseph was in control of them. And it says that, and he served them. Joseph was a servant. Joseph was serving in spite of the conditions that he was in. Verses 5 through 8, then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them and in the morning, he looked at them and he saw that they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." And so here, Joseph saw that they were sad. And this is a window into the heart of Joseph. This is a picture into the heart of a servant. He sees that they're sad. Men who are consumed with anger and bitterness don't often take a concern of the personal problems or the needs of other people. Here we see a picture of his heart of compassion. Jesus had a heart of compassion, didn't he? Jesus was other-oriented. So this is one of the keys of living like Jesus, being other-centered, other-oriented. Be concerned about others. Consider others better than yourselves. That does not happen in the flesh. That happens walking in the Spirit, right? Walking in the supernatural as the Lord walks in the light. We are in the light, and we have fellowship with one another as we walk in that light, right? Because if I'm not walking with Jesus, I'm all concerned about me. And so here we see Joseph in the prison. Listen, if you look back on his dysfunctional family, you would say, oh yeah, he had a right to be angry, didn't he? He had a right to go out and murder people, because this is what people will say. Well, you know, somebody made him mad when he was a young boy, and look what happened. But this is not what we see. We see a man of compassion. Why? He's a man of God. His dream was from God. His positioning, although in prison, although once in a pit, once in prestige, and now in prison, God is still orchestrating his life. It's hard for us on this side of eternity to comprehend some of the things that we see happening. But yet God says what Satan meant for bad, God would mean for good. And that all things would work out for the good. Those are in Christ. Those are called according to his purpose. And so we see no matter what's happening in your life, we can still be godly walking with the Lord. And as a result of that, people around us are blessed. The guards blessed, these soldiers are blessed, or these other prisoners are blessed as well. And so each prisoner has a strange dream. You ever have a weird dream? You know, when I was a policeman, most of my dreams would I get in a shootout and the bullet would go boop, like 3 inches out of the gun, and that was it, you know, and I'm like pulling the trigger and the trigger won't go. And those are the kind of dreams that I had, right? Those are the things that are on my mind during the day during my job. And so, you know, is that from God? What does that mean? I don't know. I don't think it was from God. And other times, you know, you walk out of an elevator. Anyway, you know, you've had the same dreams probably. So they know that they must be something more in this dream. There's something here. So Joseph declares that the interpretations are from God. In Daniel chapter 2, 22, God gives insight into the hidden things. So again, not every dream is from God, but a dream may be from God. And in Daniel 2, 22, it says, "He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells within him." And so God knows, God is the interpreter. The dreams that come from him, he will reveal. So remember, Joseph's dreams were that his brothers would bow down to him, and yet he's still in jail. This takes a very mature person to comprehend, doesn't it? But God is showing us that this isn't the end of the story for Joseph, although he's here for a season. He was in the pit for a season, right? He served in prestige for a season, but now he's in prison. And we know that God, because we're on this side of the story, isn't that great? Like, we're not right in the middle of it with him. Oh no, what's going to happen next? Oh, I can't believe this. God, where are you? We can be on this side of the story, understanding that he had to go through all these things so that he could get to the place that he would be in the end. He's still in prison. Hang in there. Keep looking to God. Things might not be turning out right now, but don't give up on God. You may give up on yourself, but don't give up on God. And I think if you give up on you're able to do something, it's even better, because you're turning to him with that childlike faith, dependent on God. He still trusts in God's interpretation. So Joseph sees light at the end of the tunnel. And the tunnel is focusing on God. And so, now dreams can come just because our minds are busy and stressed. Ecclesiastes tells us this: a dream comes through much activity. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. So, again, not all our dreams, not all our visions are from God, but some are, and this certainly was. Verses 9 through 15. So then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was all as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's." Placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And so here, he sees the vine were three branches, and though the dream was from God, God uses figures that would be familiar to the butler: a vine, grapes, wine. And in the dream, the butler saw himself restored to his former position, serving Pharaoh. Verse 12, "And Joseph said to him," this is the interpretation of it, "the three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and will put Pharaoh's cup in the hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But I remember, remember me when it shall be with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. And for indeed, I was stolen away from my land and the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." So the butler shares his dream, and notice that the personal way God communicates to him, once again, something very familiar to him, the wine, the branches, the grapes, and his servanthood. And there were aspects of this dream that could not be guessed, right? Joseph gives the interpretation. The three branches were 3 days. Pharaoh will restore you in 3 days. And it's a picture of the resurrection too. And the prophecy is specific and provable. It's one thing, and you've heard me mention this before, if Jesus would have said, "Hey, I'm going to die on the cross, and I'm going to rise again spiritually, and I hope you make it," we would never know, would we? And that would be the best defense for any defense attorney. Where's the body? Or here is the body, and where is the spirit? And how do we know he's alive? We wouldn't know. And so Jesus didn't just say, "I'm going to die." God's plan wasn't that he would just die and we would wonder. But he rose again and showed himself so that we absolutely know. It's provable. So if you've been with us in Matthew, this adulterous generation wants a sign. They were telling Jesus, I think in chapter 15 or so, we're beyond that now, but show us the sign, give us a sign. And he said, "No sign will be given to you but the sign of Jonah. For 3 days he was in the belly of the fish." Well, Jesus fulfilled that when he was resurrected. It was provable. Isn't that great? And so he doesn't want us to wonder or think or ask everybody else questions. Some things we do, but most of it is clear. He wants us to know. So it's provable here. In 3 days, Pharaoh will restore him. What if 4 days went by? So the prophecy is specific and it's provable. In Deuteronomy 18, the prophet must be right and it must be proved. If a prophet was wrong, he was stoned to death. And so who would want to be a prophet? There's a lot of them out there today. Nothing happens to them. "Oh, I made a little mistake." Right? If you were a prophet and you were wrong, you were a liar, and they took care of you. And so here, it's provable it happens. And I love that about the resurrection. Jesus told them, Jesus tells the disciples that "I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again." All they heard was, "I'm going to die." They did not hear that "I will rise again on the third day." And that's amazing, because even though the other disciples saw Jesus, Thomas still yet didn't believe, doubting Thomas. And he says, if I don't, I got to put my fingers in his hands and my hand in his side, and I won't believe. But isn't it great that Jesus just said, all right, that's it, he's out. This guy's a non-believer at this point, right? But he actually shows himself to Thomas, which is amazing to me. He opens up his hands, he says, Thomas, put your fingers in my hands, put your hand to my side, stop doubting and believe. Isn't that great? How many times have we doubted? Well, you know, this has to happen. But God wants us to know. He wants us to believe. He wants us to trust. He wants us to be filled, empowered, and walking in victory and walking in the light. And he wants us to live a life set apart for him. And when our lives are set apart for him, like Joseph, we would be other-centered. Our life is set apart for the Lord. Well, what was Jesus? Jesus was a people person. And we become people, right? And we want to love on other people. We want to help other people. Whatever that looks like in your sphere of influence. Everybody's not going to do the same thing, right? So Joseph asked the butler to remember him. Now, think of me, make mention of me, you know, when things go well for you, said Joseph. Remember me when you come into the kingdom, said the thief on the cross. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said in Luke 22. How do we remember Jesus? Well, it's through communion we remember Jesus. Communion is the way we most clearly remember what Jesus did when he freed us from our imprisonment of our sins, right? So remember me when you get back in your position. He's putting his trust in man at this point. And we see here that it demonstrates faith in the interpretation, but he's foregone the conclusion. He still needs to trust in God. This isn't it, right? It's not over. And so he's forgotten there for a season. He seeks freedom, and obviously that's okay. But 1 Corinthians 7 tells us, live as you are called. We're slaves of God. If you were slaves when he saved you, you're still slaves, but you're a slave of God. If you're free when he saved you, you're a slave to him now. Live as you're called. And so, because listen, God has a plan, he has a purpose. Joseph still at this point doesn't have the itinerary for the rest of his life. He doesn't know what awaits him, what is going to transpire, what's going to happen, how he's going to save an entire nation from a famine. Verse 16 through 19. So when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the upmost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation. In the three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. How many want to hear that, right? He was hoping he was going to hear what the butler's dream was. Everything's going to be great. You're going to get restored, right? But see, it is a picture of the two thieves, one who was restored, one who was not restored. So the baker shares his dream, the personal way God communicates, once again, bread and baskets, the other one, a vine and grapes. So Joseph gives him the interpretation. Joseph was just as faithful, listen, just as faithful to deliver the message of judgment as he was to deliver the message of deliverance. And this is the mark of a godly messenger who does not fail to bring the whole truth of God. We need to be able to tell people how they get sinned and how they go to hell. And if they don't believe in Jesus, that's where they're headed. He didn't hold back on either one of these messages, and that's important as well. So the three baskets, as we read, 3 days Pharaoh will take off your head and the birds will eat it. Notice again, bold and provable. Once again, 3 days pass by. Imagine the reaction. Sometimes the world won't want to hear our message. Many are willing to preach the butler's sermon of deliverance, but not willing to preach the baker's sermon as well. Because that's the hard one, right? People don't want to hear that. This was a disgraceful way to die, but all who do not repent will face an eternal death of disgrace. And so as we're coming to the close of this chapter, and we're not going to go any further tonight because I want to spend some time in prayer as a church for what's happening around us and what we see. Dreams come to pass exactly according to Joseph's interpretation. Why? Because the dreams were from God and the interpretation was from God as well. And so verse 20 through 23, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief bakers among his servants. And then he restored the chief butler to his butlership. And again, he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hung the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. And yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Once again, God has a plan. God has a purpose. We don't always see the plan or the purpose. So we have to continue to trust in the Lord that he will fulfill his plan and his purpose. So Pharaoh has a birthday celebration. He restores the butler to the former state. Joseph's word is fulfilled here as a prophet, right? The baker is condemned and executed. Joseph's word is fulfilled here, proving he is of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, once again, if the prophet was false, number one, he wasn't from God, and then he would be stoned. But the butler forgets Joseph. Joseph is left in jail at this point. And from an earthly perspective, we would have to say, Lord, what's going on? Now, we know the whole story. But if you're not in the, if you don't know the whole story, why you're in this, you can't understand, you can't comprehend. So I had diverticulitis once some years back, and I've had bouts of it in between, some severe and others not. And I went to my general doctor. He put me in the hospital, and I had an IV of antibiotics. And I was there for 5 days, and they just kept giving me antibiotics. And on the fifth day, my doctor calls me in the hospital room. He says, I'm so sorry. I thought the admitting doctor at the hospital was treating you. That's why I haven't come in. So both doctors forgot me in the hospital for 5 days. So he says, what do you have right now? Do you have an IV? I said, yeah. He says, all right, because it was like 7 o'clock at night. He says, all right, tomorrow morning we'll let you out. Tomorrow morning comes, a nurse comes in, takes out my IV, and says, go ahead and get dressed. We're sending you home. And I'm like, okay, great. Everybody forgot me. I'm here 5 days. Nurse says, we heard you're a pastor. And there's a patient. He's a 20-year-old young man, two doors over. He's dying of cancer. Will you go talk to him? And I said, sure. So I get dressed. And I go over to his room. And he's in the shower. And it's piping hot water. That was the only way he would have relief from the pain he was in. He was about 75, 80 pounds. The whole room was dripping with water of condensation all around the walls. And I've never seen anything like this. And I said, hey, brother, I'm Pastor Ken. I heard things weren't going well for you. I just wanted to ask you if you know Jesus. And he did. And so I encouraged him in his faith and to hang in there. God has a plan and a purpose. And I don't remember what I said. But for purposes of this illustration, I prayed a long prayer with him, and at the end of the prayer, I turn around, there were 7 nurses behind me, all of them crying. 7 of them. I didn't know this. So God left me and had me forgotten. Obviously, I'm not in prison, but in the hospital for a plan and a prayer. Now, I could have, oh, these doctors, I can't believe it. They're probably out playing golf. That's why they forgot me. I could have gotten mad, right, in the flesh. But thank God I didn't, because she goes, hey, we heard you're a pastor. But you got to see, God had a plan and a purpose. And listen, the purpose may have been to encourage the young man, but there were 7 nurses behind me. Because I spoke about Jesus in an evangelistic way, even though he knew the Lord. And so God has, we don't have it all. We don't have the blueprint. That's why we just have to follow the Lord. And sometimes it's difficult. Like Joseph, he finds himself in prison. Has done everything right in his life. Loving the Lord. Can't wait for God to fulfill his purpose in the dream, and now he's suffering as a result of that. But didn't Jesus suffer too? And you say, I wanted to cuddle you as a hen cuddles her chicks, but you didn't want that, right? His dream was is that we would all be one together, and yet we're so divided yet. And so there'll come a day that we are one in the body of Christ. And we have to understand that God is in control, and we don't see the whole plan, so we have to trust in him. It might not be on our timeline. It might not be something we planned. But all we can do is look up to God with that childlike faith, dependent upon him. Because he is the one orchestrating everything in our lives. God ordains our steps. Here's a quote. God ordains our steps and our stops. Think about that. Sometimes he opens up doors for us to walk to. Sometimes he closes doors. And sometimes we don't like that, do we? Because sometimes we wanted to walk through the door that he has closed, and we can't comprehend why he has closed it. And I've been there, ladies and gentlemen. I've given some illustrations of that. And there were some things that I wanted, man, and I tried everything that I could do to get it, and I didn't get it. And I didn't understand, and I settled it, okay. But down the road, I realized, man, if I would have gotten that, that would have been bad. So thank you, Lord, for not giving me what I asked for. And so he sees beyond what we can see. Joseph knows God's will is that he will be delivered because he had the dream. He had the inspiration. Well, we have the word of God. And that's the inspiration for us. To trust and to know that he is with us. He would never leave us nor forsake us. He has a plan for our life. In order for us to fulfill that plan, we must deny ourselves daily and take up our cross. Why? So that he can then use us. I'm not preoccupied with myself. I've died to self each day. We all have to do it, sometimes a couple times a day, right? So that God can then use us. So he trusts in God's timing. He's trusting in God's will. He's trusting in God's timing. But he'll have to trust for 2 more years. That's a long time, right? But once again, God is working out his plan. And so as we close, there's 4 final types that will bring us to 20 of the parallels of Jesus and Joseph. Number 17, he was numbered among the criminals. Luke chapter 23. He was with these 2 criminals, which is a picture of the 2 thieves on the cross. Number 18, he saw one saved, and he saw one lost. He saw a saved man restored to the former state, and he saw a man set free on the 3rd day as well. And so here we see the typology, and it attests to the eternal quality of God's word. Psalms 119:89, for you note takers, says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." God wrote it, and it's settled in heaven. It is finished, right? Your life plan and book has been written. He knows the end. He knows the whole thing, right? You know the parade. We have to wait to get to heaven to see that. But he sees us in that finished state. And that's why our home is in heaven, right? We are ambassadors of the King. We are children of God. We are here now for a plan and a purpose. Otherwise, you know, get saved, have the funeral service, we're out of here. God has a plan. 1 Peter 1:20 says, "The Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth." So before Joseph ever suffered in the jail, listen, Jesus suffered in the heart of the Father. His crucifixion was planned. Already seen. But the end of the story as well, he is seated now at the right hand of the Father. Nothing can hold him back. And he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. Do you believe in the Son of God? And if you do, your life will reflect that as you walk with him. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this evening for your word, Lord. As we look at Joseph's life as a parallel picture of yours, let our life as well be a picture of yours, loving on people, caring for people. Help us now to trust in you, walk with you, and be empowered by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.